Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 23 of ClapperCast. My name is Sean.
And my name is Burke.
And we are just under a week into the NHL season right now. We've got 6 days of NHL action in the books. And boy, is it ever nice to actually have some hockey to watch again, isn't it?
It is really nice. It's the best season, and it's been pretty exciting so far. Just a few games
Definitely.
played for each team, but there's definitely some storylines that are emerging, and let's crack right into it here.
Yeah, I think the first one I want to talk about is it's building off of the San Jose Vegas season series to start the year. Firstly, I mean that those two teams might have the best active rivalry in the league right now, in my opinion.
I think you're right. Even in preseason, it was insane. The Evander Kane thing, chants in the arena, and having a back to back to open the season, it was pretty cool to see. Especially if you're a
Yeah.
Vegas fan, because San
Oh,
Jose
especially.
has not been doing so hot.
Yeah, so let's start right in with San Jose's start to the year, because it's been kind of atrocious in my opinion.
Yeah,
So to put it lightly.
you mean 0-3 is not your ideal start to the season?
It's hard for me to say as an Oilers fan. I've kind of been treated to a lot of those types of years, so I'm just gonna make a guess here and say it's not how most teams are supposed to start.
Do you think that this is only because of Evander Kane being out of the lineup?
I think it has an impact. I think the energy that he brings to the team on the ice and also his actual ability to play hockey are both major factors into why they haven't been able to produce their offense and why they haven't been able to get any momentum in the games. But ultimately, you watch them play and they all look rusty. They all look unprepared. They're completely out of sync with each other. They're making random dumb passes to nobody. They just don't have that energy and they don't seem to be totally ready for the year.
Yeah, I would agree. They dropped their first two to Vegas, and then who did they lose their third game to? The
That was
Ducks.
Anaheim.
Yeah, so kind of a surprise there. Top sniper Michael Delzato got a goal in that game. Bit of
Probably
a
their RLS trophy
surprise.
right there for him.
Yeah, but Gibson's still a good goalie, right? Like he's struggling to put up some great numbers on a shitty team there, so he definitely still win them some games, and
For sure.
San Jose definitely has seen their share of struggles already this season. Carlson missed the first game for a personal matter, which ended up being the birth of his child. So congrats to him. He's now got
Definitely.
dad strength, which
He's gonna have
could
an
be,
amazing season now.
yeah.
Just watch out for him.
Yeah. So they, with him back in the lineup and Kane coming back after his three game suspension, they'll probably be a bit steadier of a team.
Definitely.
And we got to remember, this is a team that lost some pretty key pieces in this offseason. Joe Pavelski, who's been the captain since they took the C off Jumbo, he left. They lost some depth D men. Joachim
Yes.
Ryan, Justin Braun, they lost Jonas Donskoy. So there's some new guys on the team. They kind of got to find their place, how everything goes together.
Yes.
I don't think we should be ruling them out anytime soon. It's too
Definitely
early for
not.
any of that. I think
No,
they'll still be a
once it
good
hits
team.
10, 15 games in, you can kind of start thinking, okay, what's going on in San Jose and what are they going to have to do to fix it? But you mentioned like Evander Kane's back their next game, and if I'm Peter DeBoer, I would be telling him to go and absolutely destroy somebody with a very clean hit, I might add. But just go and engage physically as soon as you can to get the team into the game because they need that energy. Get them back to where they can be, where we've seen them be in the past.
Yeah, they've been really been looking a little lackadaisical out there. They've been pretty
Flat.
slow and flat, yeah, coming out the gate slow. Kevin LeBanc is going to be moving up to the first line, which is kind of where everybody penciled him in this offseason. He's been playing on the third line where he played most of the year last year with Jumbo and what's his name? The greasy looking guy, Sorensen.
Sorensen, greasy
Playing
looking
with,
guy. Okay.
yep. I mean, it's the flow. It looks
Yeah,
kind of Greece,
A
you know.
very greasy flow.
Yeah, so he's been playing with them, hasn't really done a whole lot, so he'll be getting his first shot at the top line next game, which could be exciting. So look for him to make an impact. You know, he's
Because he
definitely
low-key had a really good year last year.
he
I did
had
not
a
think he had 50 points, but.
he had an insane finish to the season, and he was clutch in playoffs. So, you know, he could be a real key to success for this team if he starts firing. They could be right back in the race here. And
He's low.
like we said, it's really early, so it's not like they're too far behind.
Yeah, we haven't hit American Thanksgiving yet, so you still have a chance to come back and make the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and like San Jose showed last season, it's never really too late to start moving back up the standings. If you get hot at the right time, who knows what could happen, right? So,
Are you talking about San Jose or St. Louis?
at St. Louis. Didn't I say St.
Yes.
Louis?
You said San Jose.
Oh, okay.
But.
I'm gonna check and post. but yeah. So San Jose's got to kind of turn it up a bit.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, that series slash rivalry as well, watching Vegas to start the year has been nothing short of exciting as hell. Because they are just in full gear already. They're in mid-season form.
Yeah, I think the way that their season ended, they've kind of got a chip on their shoulder going into this season, and especially starting off with their last preseason game against the Sharks, and then two games right against the Sharks right off the bat. You know, that's adds some fire to their game, and I think they're on the right track already. And they are fun to watch. They're definitely a fast team that's makes the opponent pay for their mistakes, and I think
My favorite part of watching them play is how they always seem to be two decisions ahead of everybody else. That they're anticipating the moves before they're happening and they just never stop. They're always moving and they're always getting into positions somewhere on the ice and it's always anticipating a future move. And that just keeps them so far ahead of everybody else in the games that you never know what's going to happen.
adding Mark Stone was a real big brain move. He fits
Yes.
into that team perfectly. The
Exactly.
mentality and the way he plays the game has just gelled super well.
Yeah,
And Cody Glass coming up.
in my research for their team preview for the season, I realized just how many of their forwards are elite two-way forwards in the NHL. Between like having Carlson and Stone, Stastny, Cody Glass coming up is about the same, Marchessault. Cody Eakin and Tuck too are all very, very highly skilled two-way forwards that all fit perfectly into the system that they offer.
Yeah, that trap defense, pounce on the turnaround play. It's they're a good team. They'll be scary down the stretch. I think they're going to be a real contender. I
Easily.
think that they'll. I think they were my prediction to win the Pacific. So I think they're on their way. But like we said, it's pretty early, so anything can happen. You never know.
For sure.
Let's stick with the Pacific. I got a couple teams I want to talk about a little briefly. First of all, the Flames. So Milan Lucic made his presence known right away. He got enough a scrap, so he's fought in his first game for every team he's played for in the NHL, which is a
Which,
pretty
that's about
cool
right.
stat. And
Congrats to
it's
him on
definitely a
that, I
very
guess.
Milan Lucic entrance to a new
Yes.
fandom. So that was kind of cool.
So yeah, with Lucic too, I think the expectations on him in Calgary are significantly lower than they were in Edmonton, and I think that's going to play to his favor.
For sure.
He's going into Calgary, and nobody's putting him in a role past being like some third, fourth line physical guy who's just going to go and stir shit up. There's no expectation on him to like produce offensively. It's just to be just to be the instigator, the physical stand up for the team presence. And
Yeah,
that's
just
going to
play his
suit him
game.
and what he can do way better at this point in his career.
Yeah, Calgary's got the top lines, you know, already ready to go. They don't need Lucic to be involved with that. You can just focus on being an energy guy and getting those big hits and,
Sucker
protecting
punching
guys out
Zadorov in the
there.
face.
Yeah, exactly. Zadorov does go for the big hits, and it's a Lucic is out there looking to, make his impact in his first
Prevent
game
exactly that.
and stand up for his teammates and show the locker room what it's all about. So
And
he's
that's a
taking
good first
every
impression.
opportunity to he can to do that. So yeah, it was interesting first game for him. Calgary's not the worst in the the West, but they split their first two, so it's pretty early.
Yeah, they're pretty much even in their first two, like 1-1 with a 6-5 goals for goals against ratio. So
Yeah.
pretty average, about all you can expect, really.
I mean, it's at this point in the season, we can't really say a whole lot about any team, but we're just doing what we can here to make some predictions, I guess. Like the Oilers, I know
Yes,
you being
I
an
would
Oil
like to talk about
fan,
the
we probably
Oilers.
should mention them.
Yeah, so I mean, a 2-0 start, a game against Los Angeles that showed actual battle and hustle and the ability to stay in a game that they're playing from behind. I didn't see the game, but following it pretty closely as much as I could, found out they were down multiple times and came back every single time and eventually won the game in regulation. And something like that is not something that they have been able to do very well the last few years.
Yeah, it's pretty
And
cool.
having that battle, having that hustle, and also being able to Mike Smith giveaways excluded, not go down significant amount of goals in the first minute of the game is going to be huge for their ability to actually stay in games for more than like the first 30 seconds.
Always helpful to not be down a goal on the first shot.
Exactly. And like we haven't seen Mikko Koskinen yet. Mike Smith's played both games, but we need to see, because Koskinen also had issues with that last season too, where he was giving up goals early, and he also had that glove hand. That was a is still a major concern, because I haven't seen him improve on that yet.
Yeah, it remains to be seen if he's worked that out or not.
Apparently he was supposed to have, but you got to see it to believe it.
Another thing that I noticed watching some Edmonton games is that real deal James Neal looks like he's kind of got that swagger in his step again right off the bat.
He is playing in a role that's more suited to his play type. And much big reason of why he didn't succeed in Calgary was he was being forced to play like a third, fourth line role at most.
Yeah,
That's not
Lucic
him.
spot right now.
Exactly. So, Neal's come back in, he's playing top two lines, playing with McDavid, and what he's providing is what Lucic wouldn't provide on those top two lines, and that is somebody who is going to the front of the net and creating offense. Whether it's a screen, whether it's just physical play or tipping or deflecting pucks, he's doing stuff like that to create the offense.
Yeah, someone with hands that aren't made of bricks that can,
Exactly.
take the puck in tight and up in the net and put it right through the goalie, which is how he got that goal, right?
Exactly.
Being able to stick hand in tight and put it through, which is not something
And it.
Lucic is known for.
No, his hands are not great.
Yeah,
Unless they're punching somebody.
I
No, but the other thing with Neal, and this is not to draw comparisons between the two, because there will never be another person like him on the Oilers, but what Neal is providing so far in his first couple of games is something that the Oilers have not seen in the lineup since the likes of Ryan Smith, with that guy who is just standing in front of the net and creating garbage goals.
Yeah, that was his
So
office.
that, yeah, exactly. That is not to draw comparisons. Like I said, nobody will ever compare to Ryan Smith. He was a very unique and successful player in his own right. But since he has left, the Oilers haven't had a player who does what he does for the team.
Yeah, is James Neal capable of growing as long of hair so that he can at least look the part?
I sure
You
hope
think?
so.
Yeah, I mean McDavid's got Does he have the long hair now, or does he have shorter hair?
I believe he's back to the shorter. I think this year's the facial hair for Connor.
Okay. All right. You got to do what the captain does. Whatever McDavid does, that's what the team needs to do.
Yeah.
And a bit of a bummer for all Oilers fans is Adam Larsson out.
Oh, that was rough. Yeah, so Larsson's come off a couple of difficult seasons, both personally and on the ice. Sounds like he's sort of overcome a lot of stuff over the summer, get ready for this season, and he breaks his foot in the first, or breaks his fibula in the first game, blocking a Quinn Hughes slap shot. So not a good thing for him, and not a good thing for the Oilers defense, because they're now putting more prospects and more guys with zero experience in the lineup.
Yeah, it's rough. Speaking of inexperienced D-men,
Good segue.
let's move on to the Winnipeg Jets,
Oh
which are
boy.
kind of the Manitoba Moose right now. at least on the back end. So, we've documented their off season quite a bit. But they've kind of got hit by some more issues. Nathan Beaulieu out, Morrissey got hurt, Dmitry Kulikov just got hurt.
Kulikov isn't hurt. He's out with a personal matter.
Okay. Well, Morrissey's due to be back soonish, I think, but they're looking like they're gonna have some defensive Heinola, Ville Heinola, who is, was he a 2019 pick or
He was,
2020?
yeah. He was their
Yeah.
first round pick from this past season, or
Yeah,
from this past
so
draft.
that's a rough spot to be put in as a
So,
defenseman.
I'm seeing Morrissey is to return for tomorrow's game, so that'll be a big help for their defense.
Yeah. So they're still going to have Heinola, Dahlstrom, Betetto, and Pionk, I think.
Yes.
So that's a pretty rough top six. Even with Morrissey in there, it's gonna be rough for them.
Oh,
I
for sure.
don't know how they're gonna do against Pittsburgh.
Battle of the
Yeah.
D in that game.
Yeah, so I mean, kudos to those guys for being able to step up into, the longer minutes, the tougher
Also
battles,
looks
but
like
it's gonna be
Sammy
rough.
Niku is up from the AHL as well. So he was a guy who filled in quite well on the bottom pairing last season. So he'll be a nice presence for them to have.
Yeah, he was hurt in the off season, I think, and was down in the AHL to start the year off to get some conditioning. So having him back up will be good. But still gonna be pretty shaky.
Yeah, currently they have 14 goals against in their three game.
Yeah,
And
not great.
the mediocre defensive lines that they have is no help to that at all.
No,
Hellebuyck
definitely
can only
not.
do so much.
Yeah, that's not ideal, obviously. So we'll see how
And we still
that
haven't heard any
progresses.
news on Dustin Byfuglien, have we?
No, the last thing I heard was that they're basically trying to convince him not to retire.
Okay.
And I haven't heard anything since. So, I mean, if I was Byfuglien, this is not a very appealing situation to come back to.
No, as much as he himself would help that individually, there's no, if you're not going back into a situation that's going to benefit you at all, like, it's not exactly enticing.
No, definitely not. Let's move along here in the Central to the Dallas Stars. So they've had a rough start to their season. They've gone 0-3 as well, just like the Sharks have. And they've been basically struggling to get some offense going a little bit. They've had 6 goals, 9 goals against. They haven't really had their big guns firing on all cylinders yet.
No, Tyler Seguin just had his first goal in that game against Detroit, I think. Which,
Yeah.
by the way, that was a massive choke job in that one.
No, that was Anthony Mantha
Yeah.
stepping up. 4 goal night.
Anthony the Man Mantha.
Yeah. What a night for him. props to anybody who has him in fantasy. That must have been like a fucking 30-point game or something for him. That
Oof,
was
easily.
insane.
Were you trying to get us to pick Mantha in our fantasy league? Or is that happen to see you?
Maybe. I don't know.
One of those
One
two.
of them. Yeah, so he had a night. But yeah, Dallas, not doing great.
I think like we've said, it's a bit early for random predictions and stuff, but an observation could be that they've gone and brought all these veteran leaders and presences into the locker room, and it's going to take a little bit for them to find what works for everybody.
Yeah, definitely gonna
You know,
need some
too many
minds out
cooks,
there.
right?
Yeah, definitely need some to find some chemistry. Because yeah, like just like San Jose had some turnover, so did Dallas. So finding out who can play where and all that takes some time. So, and they got a tough matchup tomorrow against Washington, who's had a pretty hot start to the year. So, I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see how they can get it going. Moving along, is there anybody else in the Central or the Pacific you want to talk about?
I think that about covers it. The rest, I mean, I did just notice this as I was looking at the Western Conference standings, but the eight bottom teams in the seven bottom teams, pardon me, in the West all have 0 points.
Battle. What a battle.
Meanwhile, in the East, it's just Ottawa. To
Yeah.
everybody's surprise.
I mean, Chicago and LA have only played one game each, so they'll
Fair
probably
enough.
can only
How
have so many
about,
zeros for so long.
yeah, exactly. How about with Arizona, though? One last quick note in the West. But Arizona, one goal in their two games so far, so they're still having trouble with the offense.
Yeah, that's kind of the storyline there in Arizona. Just get something going. They can only win games if you score goals. I know that sounds
Yeah,
stupid, but
you need at least one goal to win a game, and they're not doing that.
yeah, their next game is against Vegas, so
That's hard to get a goal.
that could be rough. Yeah, I haven't watched an Arizona game this season yet. I want to see how Phil looks in that Kachina jersey. I'd like to see that.
That'd be a pretty good sight. That speed flowing down the wings there.
Yeah. Maybe let's move to the Metro. I have some points I want to bring up about let's start up with the New York Rangers, who have gone 2-0 for their
That's a
first
good
two
start,
games.
and 10 goals in their two games. How about Mika Zibanejad?
Yeah, we're talking about Mantha in fantasy, but Mika's been like the top player right now.
Yeah, he is. I
Eight
mean, 8 points in
points.
two games.
Yeah, he
Like,
has been on fire.
that is absolutely absurd numbers.
Yeah, especially when they've got 10 goals. Like, he's got 8 points,
Yeah.
80%.
Which kind of is concerning for when he quiets down, because that is not a sustainable pace.
Yep.
But let's enjoy it while it lasts, why don't we?
Yeah, so Panarin has got 4 points, and Trouba has got 4 points as well. So their new additions are chipping in too. They've looked pretty good.
Any
They've
word on Capo Caco?
I don't know actually how he's played. If he's do you know if he has played? Did he make his debut?
He has to.
Looks like he played,
Top prospect.
but he didn't really do anything as far as the score sheet. So he'll be looking for his first goal still, his first point. It'll come.
Definitely.
Not sure if he's been getting a lot of time on like the power play or anything like that, but I mean, if he keeps developing, he will. I think he'll get an opportunity.
Yeah, it's his first couple of games. There's no way he's going to be getting major ice time or major power play. There's going to be a bit of a transitional period for him,
Especially
so.
with how hot Zibanejad is and Panarin.
though it wouldn't
I
be a
think
bad thing to throw Zibanejad with Kakko for a little bit. See what happens there.
Buchnevich has been playing top line. So I think they've looked pretty good. I think Lundqvist has been playing good too, but you know, they definitely relied on him really heavily last year and he got tired out pretty early on and his stats plummeted. So we'll see if they can mix it up between Lundqvist and Georgiev a little
My
bit
favorite name
more.
in the league, one of them.
Yeah. All name team for sure. We'll see how they can do that. Split time between those two. Just take some of the load off of Lundqvist because he's been their workhorse for so many years. And then another quick note for the Rangers is that they've actually today, they traded Vladimir Namestnikov. Is it Vladimir or Vladislav? I don't remember. Anyway, Vlad Namestnikov was traded to Ottawa in exchange for defenseman Nick Ebert and a fourth round pick in 2021.
Yeah,
so
Vladislav
what do you think about
Namestnikov.
This? Ah.
I guess, I mean, this is probably a decent trade for Ottawa. I think they got him for basically nothing. They got him at retained salary too, because New York's retaining $750,000. So there's a nice Melnyk touch on that trade.
Yep, that was my first thought when I saw it too.
Yeah, oh, I originally thought the trade tweet said $750,000 in cash. And I was like, of course Melnyk's getting cash, but Melnyk's just retained salary. But I mean, you were saying Eberts was like the last pick in the 2012 draft. He hasn't ever made the Senators roster. He's never really gotten anywhere. So
yeah, he was drafted
don't
by
think
LA.
Losing much of that.
He played in Sweden last year. He played one game in the NHL so far this year.
And a fourth round pick, I think it was, right?
Yes, in 2021. So the Rangers now have an extra third and an extra fourth, as well as all of their original picks in that draft, which is something that the Rangers have really not had for quite a long time. They've really been trading away a lot of their picks, so it'll be exciting for them to keep all of those picks, especially, you know, being in kind of the middle of a rebuild mode a little bit. I don't know, depending on how this first few months goes, they might nix that and just decide that they're trying to make playoffs. But in the Metro, I don't know if that's going to happen. But it'll be exciting for the Rangers to keep those picks. And, you know, maybe they can flip them for players or what. But
at this stage in the rebuild, they'd be smarter to keep them.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to be important. Like, they don't want to just have like a one-off shot at the cup with the rebuild, right? They want to have a sustained one.
Yeah.
And to do that, you're going to need, you know, 5 years of draft picks, of more than enough draft picks to make sure you're actually developing enough players to build that prospect pipeline.
Yeah. Yeah. So that cap retained by New York Rangers is kind of funny because my first thought on that was like, obviously, you know, that's the Melnyk touch, as you stated so nicely. You know, he only has a cap of like 4 million. The Senators have something like 11 million in space or something right now. So I thought it was kind of funny that the only way
they have 8 million now. So
retained.
Before that, they would have had about 12 or about 11. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think they're going to be doing anything much with that remaining cap space.
No.
But I do like the addition of Namestnikov to that team. Bring in a bit more of a defensively responsible forward, someone who can, you know, he's not the oldest guy, he's 26, so still a middle of the lineup guy, can slot in kind of wherever. He's, you know, when he was in Tampa, he played with, you know, guys like Kucherov, I think, Stamkos maybe. He's a guy that can battle for the puck, so I think he's a cool addition to Ottawa. I see him doing well there.
And the part that I think is important for the Senators too is that they've kind of been having some of these prospects that they are sending down that aren't quite ready for the NHL. So the addition of Namestnikov is going to make sure they can actually leave them in the minor leagues to develop and not have to rush them up into the NHL.
Yep, definitely.
It'll just give them, even because, I mean, Namestnikov's a UFA after the season, but it even just gives them this year to let guys hang out in the minor leagues, juniors or AHL, wherever, to properly develop and get that experience before they're in the NHL full time.
plot in a capable guy, keep keep a spot. Yeah, for sure. Let's stick with the Metro here, the Penguins. So real quick, the only real thing I wanted to mention about them is that it came out today or yesterday that Evgeny Malkin and Nick Bjugstad are out long term with injuries. So that's not ideal.
No, that's going to be a big hit. We saw Malkin's is a soft tissue injury. He's out for a month. I haven't seen any more on Bukestad's though.
Malkin was
But
looking for a bounce back year, and this is not a great start.
no. And
Yeah.
for a Pittsburgh team that is getting weaker and weaker every single year, they don't have the depth to cover him anymore.
No, they do not.
So that's, I mean, Jared McCann is now the team's second line center in place of Malkin. That's a tiny bit of a downgrade.
Little bit, little bit.
Not
I mean,
getting
both of them are,
quite the same lineup presence.
neither of them are top 100 players. Let's just put it that way.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. They have that in common.
Another thing with the Penguins, Crosby got in a fight. The Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those weird fights, like things you never thought you'd see tonight.
Yeah, Crosby sticking up for Gensel, who took a hit from Dubois, and Dubois cross-checked Crosby going up the ice, and Crosby went to town.
I think it just
He's
shows
got
the
that.
type of player Crosby is.
Yeah, he's got that core strength, the leg strength. He took Dubois down to the ice after, a couple of punches exchanged. But yeah, I mean, not the guy who you'd expect to be in a fight, given
Or the
his
guy you'd want to be in a fight,
no,
but
definitely not. But
nobody's telling Crosby what he can and can't do.
exactly. Yep. And the last thing for the Penguins, right before the season began, there was some rumors that a Jack Johnson trade was imminent, and it's been radio silence since. So, if there was a trade in place, it's obviously fallen through. And I don't think there's going to be a lot of interest in Jack Johnson. I know that might be a shocker, but I think they're stuck with him. And that's not great
I
for
think
the
that's the most
Penguins that
likely
are.
scenario.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the Penguins' record is so far this season. I know they beat Columbus, but
They're 1-1.
they're going to have a tough time in the Metro without Gino. I think they're
Yeah,
going to have a
and like
real tough
these
time.
early games are so important because
Yeah.
you can't be coming from behind. You can't rely on coming from behind. You need some wins early. So without that depth scoring, how many other teams in the Metro have two really, really good lines?
Lots. Lots. Yeah, another Metro team, Carolina Hurricanes. They've gone 3-0 to start the season, and every game has gone to overtime, which is pretty exciting hockey. It's kind of like
Yeah.
pants shitting worthy hockey if you're a fan of the Carolina Hurricanes, because it's like desperation hockey.
It's
But
tense.
So
And even more impressive, I believe they've done all this without any contribution from their top lines.
yeah, I have that written down here that at least two of the overtime winners have been from D-men. Slavin got one goal, and Gardner got the goal against the Capitals. So
Yeah. And I mean, Niederreiter and Aho have 0 points.
surprising.
They're
Very
yeah,
surprising.
I'm amazed they were able to do that. I didn't think they had quite the depth to beat teams like Tampa Bay without any contribution from their top line.
Yeah, I mean,
But they've done it.
I might have judged them unfairly going into the season. We'll have to check in on that again,
Yeah.
but
Well,
I mean, all
I
their
mean,
games have
I've
gone to
mentioned
overtime,
this.
so
Yeah.
it's
Remember Buffalo last
kinda.
year? They had that lengthy winning streak where a whole bunch of the games went to overtime.
Yeah, so the bubble could burst at any time.
Yeah. And I
Team
mean,
that.
we see like one of these teams every single season that has just a random breakout year and then they fall back the next season. You know, it could be Carolina, it could be somebody else. But one of these breakout teams is bound to regress big time. So we'll wait and see who it is.
Columbus. What can we say about Columbus
They
that
have
we
had a lot of
haven't?
goals scored in the games that they played.
Yes, and they haven't scored very many goals in the
I mean,
in the
seven in
games that they
three
played.
games is just under average.
They had three in their first two.
That would explain why, because they just beat Buffalo 4-3 tonight.
Yeah. They had 3 goals against, 11, or 3 goals for, 11 goals against in the first two games, 7 goals for, and
And
14
one of
goals
those
for in
games
the
was getting
first three.
demolished 7-2 by Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they got sandbagged pretty hard by Pittsburgh. Pretty
This
rough
just brings to
outing.
question their major issues on in goal.
Shaky.
Where we're dealing with the guy who's been a backup for 4 years or something and someone who's never played in the NHL.
Got a cool name though.
Very cool name.
Elvis. I mean, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name, but you can just say Elvis and everybody will know who he
I
is.
think I read it's like Merzlikins or something.
Yeah, Elvis. Elvis and
Yeah.
Korpisalo.
So they're
It's
rocking a Korpisalo's rocking an 8 point or 0.862 save percentage, and Elvis has 0.825
Yeah, that's not
through
ideal.
one game played each is recorded on here so far.
That's pretty shitty. But I mean, how high quality is the team that's being iced in front of them too, right? They've lost a
Exactly.
lot of guys.
They basically lost most of their high-end forwards in the offseason. Their defense is good, but their offense is terrible.
It's going to be a real task for Tortorella this season to coach that team to even mediocrity, really. They're
But if there's any coach in the league who is going to have the right foot in their ass, mentality to get those guys to overperform for a season, it's probably going to be Torts.
Yeah, he's got the right tools in the toolbox to do it, but will the guys buy in and will they be able to perform well enough in that metro to win games and
That's going to be a no for
scrape
me.
by? I don't know. I think they're probably better off suited to just finish in the basement, right? Like, they need draft picks after going balls out at the deadline.
They do, but yeah, they're going to have to make trades for those because they don't have any right now. They've got a first, a fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh.
Sell
That's
at the
it.
deadline. I
So they've
think
got a
that's
couple
what.
of decent assets that are going to be on display for the next few months here.
Yeah, it's sad, but I think that's what they're gonna have to do. Just to stay relevant.
Basically.
It's forced to be a rebuild now because of those moves,
And
and
you know
nobody
what? There's
staying.
nothing, I don't see too much wrong with what they did last season, because they did ultimately have their best season in franchise history.
Yeah,
They
I
didn't go
saw it
as
as
far as
kind
they
of
would have liked, but
damned if you do, damned if you don't
yeah,
scenario.
so they weren't far enough out of the playoff race at the trade deadline for Jarmo Kekäläinen to just say, yeah, we're done, and trade off all the other players that they had, but instead of bringing guys in. So he did well with what he was given, and I think he made the right decision for the franchise to kind of get some excitement around the team for a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Move on to the center of the hockey universe, Toronto. So they've had a pretty good start to the year. They've gone 2-0-1.
Two,
They've
one, and
had
one.
2-1-1.
They just lost tonight.
Oh yeah, they lost tonight. Sorry, this is old. They've had some problems with leads in that Montreal game. Kapanen showed some immaturity. Did you see that play? Kasperi
Yes, that was when he
Kapanen
chucked the stick,
threw
right?
his broken stick at Petrie. That was a bonehead move. He said in some interview after the game that if he knew that rule, he wouldn't have done it. I
But
think that's
that
a pretty
still brings to
obvious
question,
rule.
you would have thrown a stick at a guy?
That's a pretty obvious rule. I know that I knew that rule in minor hockey
Yes.
to not do that. So I mean, Petrie scored on the penalty shot.
Yeah, and I mean that's not a very good answer to that question because that makes me say like you would have thrown your stick. Like you didn't say you wouldn't have thrown your stick, you just didn't know it was a rule that you can throw a broken one. It's like what were you gonna do if it wasn't broken? Still throw it?
Yeah. Another storyline out of that Montreal game is that Hutchinson's got some work to do as the backup. Looked a little shaky.
Yeah.
He's
They're gonna need
definitely.
because they can't ride Anderson as much as they have in the last 2 years.
Nope. Yeah.
And they need to have their backup be actually capable of taking on 25, 30 games.
Yeah, so we'll see how that pans out. You know, they've kind of mismanaged their goaltending a little bit with all the goalies that have been in and out of the lineup with the cap space available. You know, they've had some pretty decent backups that have just snuck out of the organization.
Yeah, I
So.
mean, the big one, they lost McElhinney 2 seasons back.
So
And I mean, that
they've had a
guy's
few.
basically the best backup in the in my you know, com competing with UC Saros in Nashville. McElhinney's probably one of the best backups in the league.
Yeah, he's good. So they've got to find a way to play better in front of their backup goalie and not give up any easy scoring opportunities like that, because that captain and play. It's just boneheaded, and it didn't need to happen, and it led to a goal against, and it didn't need to.
And you make a comment about how they need to work on playing better in front of their goalie. Just in today's game, there was, I believe it was the second goal that the Leafs basically had two of their players standing side by side in the slot, fully upright, stick horizontal with the ice across their waist, doing absolutely nothing. So St. Louis Blue just kind of bolted right in behind them and had a wide open one-timer in the slot.
Yeah.
So of course that goes in the net.
And I think that's the difference between just winning a Stanley Cup and playing every night hard and being the Toronto Maple Leafs. Not getting past the first round. That's the mentality that Toronto needs to shift to. They need to battle hard every shift. St. Louis is coming off a season where they did that and it paid off for them.
Big time.
Toronto needs to do that. And I guess they're hoping that naming John Tavares as their next captain will inspire their team to play like Tavares. So, I don't think Tavares is a guy that takes any shifts off. He battles hard. I think he's a great kip. Oh man, a great pick for their captain.
I agree. I think he was the best choice.
He is a very His interviews are very typical hockey guy, but that's kind of what they need, I think. They need that
And the thing I see
professional
with it
man.
is exactly that. The captaincy announcements over the last few years have taken on more of a franchise marketing perspective, where they're not necessarily maybe taking. They're factoring in the quality of the player and the marketability of the player with a C a little bit more than they had in the past. And that's where a guy like Matthews comes in is, he's more the face of the franchise than Tavares. But Tavares might be the better representative for the team in terms of the captaincy.
Yeah, he literally grew up. He's Pajama Boy. Like,
Exactly.
he's a
Captain
great pick.
Pajamas.
There's some marketability there too, but yeah, I getcha that Matthews is the guy.
He's flashier.
Ah, nice one.
Oh, I didn't
He's
even think
very
about that.
Captain Underpants is very flashy.
It is. Although I do miss the opportunity for Captain Underpants, we can at least go with Assistant Captain Underpants.
And then one more thing about the Leafs is that Babcock scratched Jason Spezza in the home opener.
I think that was disrespectful
It was.
at
He
the core.
wasn't even mentioned in like the opening roster. Like, you know how everybody skates out? He wasn't
Right.
even in that.
Oh,
So
so it goes beyond Babcock, or did Babcock have that prearranged?
no, I think it must have been Babs, like not dressing him even for the announcement of the team for the year.
Yeah, I think that was incredibly disrespectful, for a guy who is very clearly on the roster.
And a hometown guy playing for his
Yep.
hometown team who
And
has been in the league
we know
for a
these
long
fan bases
time
eat that shit up.
against his old team. They're playing against the Senators. He scratched him, and then his reasoning was he needs more time practicing on the PK. This is Jason Spezza.
Yeah, the guy who's basically been in a role doing that for how many years?
He's definitely lost a step. I think that's something that Babcock was very critical of him about in preseason, that he wasn't as fast as the rest of the team. You know, he's in his mid-30s. You just played Patrick Marleau in the dying seconds
And
of your playoff run. He's not a
that
fast
is.
guy.
Exactly. That is incredibly hypocritical of Babcock to be criticizing Spezza and scratching him for not quite being fast enough, but then you go and play Patrick Marleau for how much a game?
You play Ron
Over.
Hainsey on your top pairing. You
There you go.
play Roman Polak. You play like Matt Martin, all those kind of guys. You know, I would have thought that Spezza being a vet would have been right up Babs's wheelhouse, but that's a pretty dick move.
Got to earn the respect. Respect
Scratching the
the system.
hometown guy in his first game against his old team, like that's pretty rough. Maybe it was to light a fire under his ass to be like, you know what? Nobody's spot on this team is guaranteed. You got to play like you want it. You're on a league minimum contract. We don't owe you anything. You know, there's guys who are out battling you. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's a super internal thing, but it just like the how it looks, the optics of it is bad. It looks
Yes.
very bad. But at the end of the day, that doesn't fucking matter. What matters is that chemistry in that locker room, how Spezza reacts to it, you know, if he does battle
Maybe it's like
back.
some 4D chess move to show a veteran reaction to adversity.
Yeah, maybe. Spezza got an assist tonight, so maybe it worked. But I know some people were saying it might have been like some smoke and mirrors to take away from the Captain Underpants story a little bit. But who knows? But yeah, that's kind of everything that I had about the Leafs. Real quickly, the Lightning, they went a whole period without a shot, and
Two
they
periods.
haven't.
They didn't get a shot in overtime either.
Oh wow, they've looked.
So that's not a particularly great start for them either, and they kind of needed a little bit better of a showing.
I know Stephen Stamkos has had a quote where he said, like, we haven't had the start that we wanted. I think it's pretty early to be that kind of dismissive, or not dismissive, but pessimistic. It's, you know, you've played three games, you know. But
We kind of have to
you're right.
wonder how their confidence is feeling after the way the last season ended.
Yeah, like
If they're going to be kind of trying a bit too hard.
if they're this quick to say, like, you know what, we've blown it. Like, it's three
Yeah.
games in. Like, you guys are still like one of the best teams in the league.
Which I bring into question again, is that John Cooper going to be the right coach for them?
Yeah, I don't
If
know.
he can't kind of bring the mentality in the room back to what it needs.
Yeah, like, has he lost the room a little bit? We'll see. I think that's something that we got to keep our eye on, is how Tampa bounces back from that. Just kind of not everything not really going their way. It's almost like they cruise through the regular season. They didn't cruise through playoffs. They can't cruise through this season. So we'll see how that goes. Is there any other team that we didn't speak about that you kind of wanted to go over at all?
We covered all of them. I think we've hit the I think we've hit the main storylines that we've noticed throughout the start here.
Yeah, if you're a fan of the teams that we didn't cover, that's no ill will meant. Just can only talk about so much. There's obviously a lot more hockey to be played, so I'm sure there'll be lots of opportunities to talk about every team in the league. Has there been any players that have really stood out to you? I mean, aside from like Zibanejad and Mantha so far?
Well, you did just take the one main one, Zibanejad and his insane start there.
Didn't you say Zach Cassian has looked great
Zach
for the
Cassian
Oilers?
has, so he's kind of come out as a bit of a force early on here. He's all aspects of his game, kind of everything that he brings to the lineup with the physicality and the random ability to produce offense, the speed, the grit, and the attitude to the ice. That they're all kind of working together here for him, and he's having a good start to the year.
He's an old school player with some new school talent. I
He has
like
the
Zach
speed of the
Cassian a
new
lot.
school game. Yeah. No, he's earned a bit of a become a bit of a fan favorite in Edmonton. He's kind of the type of player that gets well received and by the Oilers fans.
I would say that he would be a fan favorite anywhere he played, just based on his play style and his emotion, his like clear emotion while he's playing. He's like very animated. He's very physical. He lends
Crazy
himself
eyes.
well to playoffs, like that kind of like intense game. I think he'd be
Exactly.
well received in it to
Exactly.
any fan base.
That's how I'm keeping my eyes out on him.
I know Matt Duchene has looked really good in Nashville so far. He's got 5 points, I think, in 2 games. So he's done. I mean, there's always been some question marks about Duchene. I think he's fitting in pretty well in Nashville.
He's
He's
a
been
good
playing on
offensive
their,
boost for them as well.
yeah, he's been playing on their power play. Like he bumps Kyle Turris down the lineup, so that's good because I know Turris has been a bit shaky
He
in
seems to have kind of
Nashville.
topped out as a bit of a third line guy with some penalty killing specialty.
Yeah, so that's good. Quinn Hughes, I wanted to bring up him a little bit. He looked pretty garbage in the defensive zone, not gonna lie, in my
He's going to be
opinion.
exciting to watch just because of his skating and his puck handling, but he's got some work to do defensively and physically before he's a capable NHLer.
He's been getting manhandled in the defensive zone for sure, been just tossed
In
on
his defense,
the
most of these were against Leon Draisaitl, who is very clearly bigger than Quinn Hughes, but there were numerous occasions where there'd be an Oiler skating down the wing. Quinn Hughes would go to try and cut them off on the boards, close the lane and all that, and the Oiler would just skate right through him and drive the net.
He has been
That's
getting a
gonna he's gonna get burned on
lot.
that so much this year.
Been getting a lot of minutes though, which is impressive for somebody so young coming in to be relied upon a lot. I think we'll continue to see him get a lot of offensive zone starts. See, the rest of the defense get more of the defensive starts, put him on the power play, him and Tyler Myers. So
I think that's a fair assessment of him so far.
yeah, I think that's pretty much everybody I can think of. I'm excited to see more of Robin Lehner for Chicago. I want to see how he plays behind the new team.
Yeah, let's see if it's if he was a product of the system or if he helped the system in New
And
York.
to bounce off of that, I'm excited to see Varlamov
That'd
on the
be
Islanders.
Varlamov.
Yeah, and see if he jumps into that time split with Greiss. If they play that same sort of 1A, 1B style, or if somebody emerges as the true starter, how that will shake down in Long Island.
Yeah.
So I guess unless there's anything else you'd like to add, Sean, I guess we can probably wrap it up here, hey?
Yeah, that about covers it. I mean, 6 days of NHL action. We've covered most of what's happened. I think that's a good ending point for today.
Alrighty. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget to like us on Instagram. We're trying to post a lot of content on there just to keep up to date on what's going on in the league. Follow us on Facebook, I guess. What am I leaving out? Anything you can think of, Sean?
Yeah, so yeah, follow us on Instagram and Twitter is the main ones where we're going to
Twitter.
be active, posting content, keeping up to date with what we post and with what's going on around the league. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you guys next week.